I heard about a new porn site today. I haven't watched porn in a long time. And I heard about a new one. And that's it. The end. Yes. It's
myfreepaysite.com.
No. That's an old one that we all know
that
about.
That's from early 2000s.
Yeah.
I heard that. Greg, wait. Before you say this, So were you asking advice from somebody? Were you like, man,
Told me. I was painting today. I was painting a house. And
these are the conversations you
quote unquote David painting. Puts on.
You're painting my house.
Yes.
Yeah. I was painting
That's
a house.
They call it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And whenever I paint, people, as you know, talk to my back for hours on end and just tell me things. And one, this guy was like, oh, I ran into this great new porn site, or this great porn site.
He ran into it.
Yeah, ran into it. It was called myfreewebcams.com. Or something like that.
MyFreeCams.com. I've seen that.
Oh, yeah. Brian, you know about it? MyFreeCams.com.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. And apparently, it's just like these women, and they're not even like necessarily doing sexual things. It's just like women existing in rooms that you can kind of, I don't know.
And by rooms, they're apartments in Czechoslovakia.
I usually like my porn for something to be happening.
Yeah. Right, yeah. No doubt.
Well, this is not that. This is literally just dialing into cameras that are on in these girls' apartments. Mostly in Europe.
Yeah.
Of course.
And they're just hanging out. Sometimes they're naked, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're doing some shit. Right. A lot of times they're just staring.
Yeah. Oh, that's so weird.
I have that here. I don't need that.
Yeah. Oh, there's a girl. There's a girl staring at me.
Look at that Czechoslovakian.
Every time she's trying to figure me out, I find her staring.
You're staring.
I don't want more of the same.
Brian Gerard, what are we doing here?
Oh, sorry. Yes. Let's get into this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Shy Show.
Yeah.
Nice. My name is Brian Gerard.
Yes,
I'm alongside Gregory Hoyt.
Mm. Oh, good evening, ladies.
And Robert Scheid.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
And today's very special, heartfelt guest.
Heartfelt?
Heartfelt.
Heartfelt special guest.
What does that mean?
My heart is warmed.
Oh, God.
By his presence?
Guest,
that's so nice.
That's nice.
The one, the only, Mr. David W. Friedman.
Whoa, oh, wow. W. Let me guess what the W stands for.
Here we go. Ready?
You'll never get it.
Wonderful.
Is it?
No. You looked excited. David Wonderful Friedman.
I haven't said that.
Yeah.
That very line.
David,
Robert,
David
you
Wistful
nope.
Friedman.
Brian?
You probably know.
William.
David William Friedman, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Did you ever go by Will or Bill or
never?
No.
DW sometimes, but never.
DW.
Will.
DW. Yeah. I did the same thing. RJ. My dad would call me that. Yeah.
But someone gave it to me. I didn't. You know what it was? It came from NBC when I was a producer on Today Show. It was DW Friedman was my login because I think there was so many D Friedmans.
Gotcha.
A common name. Yeah. So they made me use the W, and then from that point it became a nickname, and people would be like, "Hey DW." And like,
got it.
So that's how it happened.
Brian has that same thing. They call you BG.
There are people who don't even know my real name.
I have him in my phone as BG Gerard.
Really?
That's awesome. Brian, what is your middle name, Brian?
Paul. Nobody cares about that.
No, why
nobody
don't
cares
you
about
even
my
ask
middle
GP?
Name?
Nobody gives a fuck.
BPG.
Yeah, GP.
What, GP? Wait,
you got dyslexia?
GPD. Is there a copper in the back of your
mouth? What's happening? All right.
How do you two know each other? Why are you here today?
I live here.
Oh, whoa, wait a second.
We're taking it over.
Yes.
Am I not supposed to say that? That
what are you doing here in your house?
You are.
This is ridiculous.
We went on the road today, Greg.
Yeah,
did you not
did.
Realize we're in a different
it.
Place?
Yeah. Brian
it's immobile.
Picked me up. No, Brian wouldn't pick me up. I had to drive. This is fucked up. And we could talk about this. Brian fucking Gerard. Paul Gerard is so lazy that he was
How lazy is he?
Okay, this isn't a setup for a bit. This is real
this
deal.
This is real.
Right?
Real life happening.
Brian's
there.
Driving. Let's all carpool.
Yeah,
right?
He did do that.
Okay, last night we talked about it. We'll all carpool over to David's because you live in the hills, so the parking's not, abundant.
Right,
that's
you know?
True.
And so, and also we all live in the same area of the town now, so it's like, we'll carpool. Carpool typically consists of the person who's driving taking a little spin and picking people
picking
up, and we
up.
All
yeah,
go together.
Right. That tends to be nice.
I was painting, like I said, all day today.
Right.
I was working all day.
Right.
So
on
I was right. I was on the horn. I was right up against the time crunch. I needed to go home and take a shower so I could look respectable for you.
I appreciate that.
That's so
and
nice.
And the beautiful women that surround you. And
why didn't you
home.
Then?
I just didn't have time.
Okay.
Because,
yeah.
Because I got home and was like, I get a text from Brian. Why don't you roll over to my place? We'll leave from here at 6:30.
Yeah.
And I go, I text him back, like, you know what, dude? It would be really great. I've had a hell of a day. It'd be excellent if you could pick me up. And no, why don't you call Robert? Robert can pick you up.
Oh, yeah.
And exactly. Then he'll bring you there and drive you home later.
I was going to read the text that came from Brian. And it was.
You don't have to read it. I can recite it if you like.
So it says, Hoyt may reach out for a pickup.
Just as a heads up.
Yeah, to which I replied, thanks for the warning, I'll shut my phone off.
But I didn't. I just was like, I'm not going to throw Robert under the bus because Brian's like...
I appreciate that.
So everyone went to his house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you drove
them. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it makes perfect sense. Now, why, David, would I go several miles in the opposite direction?
That was the question. Are they east?
No. They're west. No, they're east.
East.
And I was traveling west, so I'd have to go back and then come back. Yeah, that don't make sense.
Why are you going to be the driver?
Because I offered to be the driver. I knew where I was going.
No, you were guilted into being the driver. I was talking about how I was driving for a good part of the day today. Mm. Greg is just, he's like, I got a truck.
Which I got a truck. That means nobody can drive in it.
Apparently.
Nobody can fit.
And it was, but it was also like, well, you know where David lives. You should just drive. And
that's
what
it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I could have come down the hill. I mean, I don't like to travel down the hill.
You don't like to leave your house ever.
And you don't like to come beautiful east.
I loved my apartment. It's so much nicer than your place.
True.
No, you typically don't go...
I don't. From Friday to Monday, I typically don't like to leave my house very often because it means interacting with people.
You really don't like to interact with people?
Friends, okay. But other people, not so much.
Really? Business.
Yeah, it's Hollywood.
Yeah. You just hate Hollywood?
Yeah, you know, the scene, you know.
Yeah.
I had to meet this girl last night for a drink. A friend from New York, she's here. And we're driving through West Hollywood. It's like people lined up outside places. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Rural Hardware?
Oh, yeah.
Very popular.
That is very popular.
So we drive by, there's like 50 girls in heels that can't walk.
They have
skirts that they shouldn't be putting on. They can't even get in them. And they're waiting to get into a bar?
To pay $14 for a drink.
Brian and I waited in line there one time, it was like outrageous.
Didn't he say he knew Justin?
He didn't even drop it.
No.
We were with that whole crew, and we had to wait in line.
Do you remember when we tried to go to the Roger Room?
Oh, God.
The Roger Room.
This is a crazy...
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Or the Rainbow?
This is a couple years ago. Roger Room, which I think still exists over in Fairfax.
Where?
We were out for dinner. Dave and I were out for dinner. The Roger
Look it up.
We were in SLS.
Greg's totally going.
I got to put some chapstick on.
What are you planning on kissing?
What do you think he was going to research?
I'm looking right across at David.
He's ready for the Roger Room right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
The light. I dimmed the light.
Yeah, he did. All right, go ahead. Tell me about the Roger Room.
So then David was like, let's go grab a drink somewhere. So we
because our friend was in there drinking at a place.
Oh, she was like,
so she said, like, come meet us. Got it.
Yeah. Sounds normal.
Yeah,
so
totally
far.
Normal. Right.
We pull up in front.
Mm-hmm.
We get out of Mr. Friedman's Porsche.
Okay.
Ooh.
Right? Yep. So usually that's a kind of a green card. Like, they're just going to be like, these guys are going to come in and probably spend a few bucks. We get up front, and the guy, typical, and any time I ever try to get into a club, this is how it happens.
Oh.
Here we go.
Can I help you guys?
First, looks us up and down.
No,
wow.
Like
a full
yes.
Oh no, yes. He's scanning you.
Yes. Scan, full scan,
and then says, "May I help you?"
Oh my
like
God.
We're there to place an order for fucking supplies or something. Like, you know,
God.
Like yeah, we're yeah, going inside.
I need some lumber, some 10-penny nails,
and he says, "Yeah, we're all booked up," and I'm like. We're meeting someone who's already inside, so that shouldn't be a problem. Yeah, there are no tables. I'm like, again, meeting somebody who's already inside. He's like, yeah, you got to wait a couple minutes. And then like a bad SNL skit, you know, three cheesy girls walk
come
up
right
in. You know?
And open the door.
And we're like, seriously?
Yeah.
So I call the girl. It was Diane Lauren. I think there was a couple of girls inside. And I call them. I'm like, yeah, this douchebag outside won't let us in. So we're leaving. I'm not going to stand out.
Yeah, no,
I'm
going
to stand out. So we leave.
I was so mad.
Yeah, I was like, that's Hollywood. You know?
That's my MO too. I refuse to wait. Like when we waited for Laurel Hardware, I knew a girl that worked in there, and she was like, "Come right in." And we're like stuck out front. Typically, unless I have a really good reason I will just leave.
Yeah,
because it's unacceptable.
It's a Hollywood scene that everyone clamors for.
No, but this is the thing. I heard that the people who are in the know don't go on the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They go on like Tuesday or Wednesday.
We call that bridge and tunnel traffic. Mm-hmm. We call that, it's like amateur nights. Like on Friday and Saturday night are the nights that you don't go to those places because you know that those are the people that are like, oh my God, let's get dressed up and go to that place.
And who am I going to see? And, so who's going to see what I shouldn't be showing?
Right. Kind of
so you just lock it down for the weekend.
I mean, it sounds really, I mean, when I talk about it, it sounds awful. It sounds very
antisocial. No, it doesn't.
No, you have a beautiful home.
Yeah, right, right.
With windows that allow you to look down upon the scene that you are avoiding.
Right? Down upon the moat
like
below.
The Lord. The Lord above.
Yes.
I judge thee wrong. I judge thee despicable. They're just casting
judgment. Oh, damn,
judgment.
It's Tuesday. I must now descend amongst you.
Let me mount my hoverboard.
Oh, you got one of those. Wow, yeah.
Just going down to the bottom of the valley. I like that. Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah.
So I'm really good at mouth tricks.
That
sounds like I'm hitting on you. Sorry.
You've given the lights. I'm good at mouth tricks. Greg,
Robert, take this somewhere else, please.
Greg, do you need to be sitting next to me?
Yeah, please. You have me a tune.
Before you strum. And you've been disconnected there. You can still hear using the regular methods that we have learned. You have quite a few guitars around this place.
This is a little something I wrote for Greg.
Oh, let's hear it. Mm.
This is the gayest thing that's
that's
ever happened.
That's all right. That's
it. Beautiful.
Excellent.
Hey, you have a couple of guitars I've seen around here. Is this...
I like to play.
You
it's
do?
A passion.
Yeah. It's the only thing that actually... from the business and stress and work and editing and screening and giving notes and dealing with things, when I come home sometimes I just... It's the only thing that like... Okay.
Calms you down.
And you've got like one down here. I noticed you have two up in the living room.
Yeah.
And are they tonally different?
Different. Yeah. They're all different and they were all gifts. And one of them is upstairs I got when I was doing a late night show with Carson Daly. And it was a gift from, as a long story short, but it was like, it's a really expensive guitar that they actually broke and put back together. And when it became not as significant and valuable, they just gave it to us and I took it, but it's still a beautiful guitar and I played it.
They didn't break it in the process of making, like, okay, to make this guitar super special, we break it, then we put it back together.
You have a little Conan O'Brien thing.
I have been told that.
He's awesome and a good friend, and but you have a little something.
I've been told that before. So you should host your own show,
Shy.
Maybe you should have your own Shy Show.
Someday.
Maybe you should start a show called The Shy Show.
We're doing that, guys.
We are doing that right now.
Not yet. Not a
Let's back up a little bit, though.
Please do.
David was speaking of, that's how he gets a release from his work and whatnot.
What's that?
Talking about releasing.
I got a couple other ideas.
Greg, you're there again.
Sound right. It sounds like I'm hitting on. I'm not. Why do I come off so gay on this show all of a sudden?
I don't know.
David, explain to our viewership what it is that you do.
That's a good thing.
What do you do?
And remember, viewership for
first
the podcast.
First, explain the viewership.
Yeah. Okay.
The viewership to our listenership.
I am what you call a television producer in a city otherwise sort of not familiar with those types of people. Hollywood. And so that's what I produce television.
Nice.
How did you meet Brian?
Mindless,
meaningless television.
I met Brian. Well, that's an interesting story.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Right back to the roots.
All right, here it is.
This is going to be romantic.
My ex-girlfriend.
Yep. We all got him.
Yeah.
Except Robert.
Same. No, that's true.
No, actually, Brian doesn't have any ex-girlfriends.
I don't have an ex-girlfriend. Everyone else does.
Yeah.
Wait, this is your first girlfriend?
Yes. Whoa. You didn't know that, Freeman?
No.
Yeah.
I just heard a record scratch
there. You've never had a girlfriend?
I mean, nothing serious.
So you have nothing that you would call an ex-girlfriend?
Not really.
That's awesome because you have no baggage.
Isn't
like that's
that amazing?
Every day I'm terrified something's going to come up from
that. I know.
I mean, they've been.
I don't mean like the.
No, I know.
Right. Like it's been 9 months since your last ex, right?
No.
Is that what you're concerned about?
No.
Okay. All right. No, watching the calendar.
I can't in earnest say my ex. I don't really have one to speak
of. Well, my ex, I actually in earnest because it's weird because she's. The last significant girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you met through that.
She was working with Brian and John Danovic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, John Danovic is our audio engineer.
Our sound engineer.
Who never shows up.
Because
he should be here to do this.
John's
anyway.
An interesting guy.
He's the best.
So that's how we met. And then I was trying something new with the late night show that I was producing and trying to turn it into a new direction because I think I was trying to identify what I thought was going to where the industry was heading,
yeah,
and something that might keep our late night show relevant and on the air. And so started to recruit people from Ripe that were, because they were already doing it in a small sort of short form content type way. And so long story short, that's how we met. He came over and worked with me at Carson.
And single-handedly changed the show.
So how long since you met Brian have you regretted meeting Brian?
At what point in the relationship? 6 months in? I got 3 months in. It was like, this is a mistake.
He doesn't make me carpool. He
lets you pick him up all the time.
I don't mind.
That's true.
I like to drive.
I like to drive too, but like if you're going to fucking offer to carpool, fucking pick me up. Kiss me before you fuck me.
Whoa, what's going on here?
Hold on a second. Brian's been a good friend and a hard work. He's worked since then. We've worked on several shows together. And
that's right.
So recently, and he has this love-hate thing with TV.
Believe me.
He works in it because it pays a couple bills, but he really hates it. He wants to do film and he wants to be an actor. I get it. But so we have that thing and that love-hate thing goes back and forth.
Brian has a couple of demons inside him. You might have talked to him a few times.
I tried to explain that we all have that, but it's like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you want to have sushi, you got to work, right? I mean, it's just, you don't have sushi, which is also a great decision.
Or you have Ralph's sushi.
Yeah.
I've never had that.
Oh, well, let me tell you.
Afraid of that?
As a connoisseur of... It's actually okay.
Okay.
No, I'm going to tell you that.
It's okay.
No, look, it's not.
It's
like sushi spelled with extra letters, you know? Same way they say crab with a K is the fake K.
Okay, wait. But anyway. So your ex-girlfriend.
Mm. Yes. You know her, too. I know you know her. And I know you've been photographed. Because I recently commented on it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Instagram. That was off of a video.
Yeah, I remember the video.
Video that John Danovic shot.
That's got to be 3 years ago. Robert was there that day as well. We shot a different video.
That was the first time that I met your ex.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
No, you met her here. I'm sure at a barbecue, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know, but maybe-ish. Around then. Now, you've not had another serious thing, right?
No. I mean, that was 3-some-odd, maybe longer ago. And I actually, in between then and now, I moved to New York.
That's right.
I started doing another show in New York.
For like over a year, right?
Did you completely uproot when you did that, or did you still have something here?
I rented out the house. I took everything.
Got it.
Moved to New York. CBS offered me an opportunity to go do a morning show. I'd started at the Today Show.
That's so many years ago.
Wow. Always thought I'd want to go back and run a morning show.
Mm-hmm.
And CBS offered me an opportunity to do it. So I packed it all up and rented the house out and moved to New York for a year and a half and did the early show, which is the morning show for CBS.
That's great. Wow.
And so while I was there, I worked 22 some odd hours a day.
It was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Oh my God.
Professionally, it was the hardest thing
Holy
ever.
Cow.
And in that 18 months, I dated, but nothing.
Nothing serious.
Everyone works hard, it's not the woe is me thing, but it took me by surprise how hard it was.
Yeah.
And had no time for anything.
Mm.
But you and I have also talked a little bit on the side about the crushing heartbreak that can happen sometimes, which makes you go, I really want to, what I mean?
Well, it's an age old thing. It's like, you know, is it better to have loved or not, you know, and felt pain or never love?
And
you and I talk about it. We've had conversations through it randomly. We'll meet, you know, through Brian, we'll go to a bar and have a drink or whatever. And here at a barbecue and talk about how I've yet to figure it out.
I know
about you. I've yet to figure it out. And the girl we're talking about, you know, was the closest thing by far.
Yeah.
And we spent many years together and we were engaged it's still look back and say like, what did I do wrong?
What happened?
How did I fuck it up? Because it was so good.
Yeah.
When it was so good.
Yeah.
And then of course shit happens because this goes back and this is deep shit.
No, fine.
Drop it.
But because at the end of the day, my problem with it is two people start here, and then they start and they grow, and then eventually you're going to grow different ways because you're two totally different people who weren't built to live together,
right?
And how do you maintain the relationship while you're growing in different ways?
Yeah.
Some say it's communication.
communication and lots of other things. And that's, and I'm probably being overly simple about it because obviously shit comes and happens and fucks up the relationship. And and I did stupid shit that I regret and hurt the relationship.
Sure.
And you look back at it and you're like, why did I do that? Because it was so stupid because she was great, this and that and that.
Yeah.
But you learn and you live and learn. But I guess the point is like you live and learn, yet how do you ever figure it out?
I know. That's
you start
thing.
Right back over again and you do it again. And I've got friends, I'm sure you all do, who are in different levels of relationships, whether mm-hmm. they're dating or living with someone or married or engaged or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
you talk to all of them and all of them are equally as fucked up.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think it's the trick is that
struggling
this time around or the next time around, you will still mess up, but you will identify it, hopefully recognize it before it gets too bad.
Right.
You know, and you've seen it. You've seen it before. And it might ring a bell like, wait a second, whoa, things are bad. I already did the thing. Oh, shit, what should I do?
Right.
You admit to it. You realize it. Oh, crap, I'm sorry. And then you build and you try to get beyond
it. And I think, and if that is what happens, then I think maybe lesson learned and maybe you're better off for having gone through the
thing. Yeah, exactly. Right.
I think so.
You can then, the next time, perhaps do it differently. And
correct.
I think, to that point, have tried in more recent relationships to at least acknowledge like, okay, this is when I'm supposed to be saying something and opening up or saying something that like, you know, and saying how I feel as opposed to just being a dick and like, and totally pulling away from the situation.
Yeah.
But you know, but even that point, because you know, especially as you get older, it's like, you know, how many years have I been me?
Right.
It's like a long time to undo shit that you're not good at.
Right.
The guy who never learns is the guy who says he didn't do anything wrong in the relationship.
Right.
Once you can identify and admit to the fact that you did something wrong, that's a huge step.
Right.
Because you identify that and then you can recognize that the second time.
But here's the even more frustrating, I agree with that. And here's the more frustrating thing as we talk about this. Mm-hmm. And like in every other aspect of my life, I'm able to do that.
Except
in relationships.
Fascinating.
So work, for example, and Brian knows this, I think, better than anyone, is that I'm able through work to say, okay, I can identify, I've made this mistake before, I'm not going to make it, like on live TV, I produce live television, so you're on live TV and you're making decisions like this.
Yeah,
and,
it's on.
And you know, you have no time to, you right away, your instinct is like, nope, I've done that, don't do that, do this, and you make the decision.
Right.
And you learn from, learn the behavior.
Sure.
And I can apply it to work.
Mm-hmm.
So
why don't
I know why? Because your heart. It's because your heart. It's because there's vulnerability.
It's an emotion that you don't.
That's right. You know what I mean? There's not that. There's not that vulnerable. With work, of course, you have your job and reputation on the line.
Yeah.
But you don't have love.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm sure that you love and respect your job.
No,
but
I agree.
You don't
it's a different
have
kind.
Like love for somebody. And when you have love for somebody, there's a fear of loss, a fear of doing something wrong, a fear of like oversharing or looking stupid or saying something that's not manly. I mean, it's
just
like,
fear.
You know,
just
it's just
fear.
Yeah.
But then with the fear, and this is what I've done, the fear just then shuts you down so you don't say anything and then you put the 1,000-yard stare on.
And I wonder if that's a guy thing, and I don't know if I often feel that way, and I've often said that in relationships or in, when I'm dating or whatever, and I say like, no, this is just me. Like when I start to get to that place where I don't know what else to do, I just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes back to, okay, so here you are on the weekend up at your house playing guitar by yourself because you don't want to fucking deal with the fact that like I either said something stupid or I didn't buy flowers. I did something wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet rather than acknowledge it and fix it, I just kind of say, I'm a dick. That's who I am.
And then you just wear that. But the problem, of course, is then in the end, you that upsets you even further. Not right now, but in the future.
And it's not being true. You're not a dick. And
we all are. That's the thing.
Yes,
we all
are a dick. I was just trying to paint you a little different color.
Well, the audience knows now.
Actually, you are a dick. So
I always say, like, my friends I grew up with in New York. Because I'm very sarcastic, which hasn't, I don't think, come out tonight. But, you know, anyone who knows me really well will say, you're so sarcastic, so sarcastic. So my friends in New York, they'll often, like, whenever they get frustrated, and these are guys I've known for 15, 16, 17 years, like, long-time friends, right out of college, friends.
Yeah.
And, like, they'll say to me, like, God, you're such a fucking dick, man. You're so sarcastic. Mm. And they're like, how are we supposed to put up with you? And I go, I don't know, dude. I wouldn't be friends with me if I were you.
Why? Because there's no filter? Do you just, filter
sarcasm,
at all?
First of all, my dad is the most sarcastic person I know after me or whatever.
Yeah.
Again.
Right.
Sarcasm and comedy is sort of where I where I'm able to handle.
Is it your default?
Yeah,
as well.
Completely.
Did you ever think about getting into stand-up?
No, because I can't. You know, it's funny because we went to that show the other day. Like, I can't. This is about as much as I can handle, which is like talking into something that's actually recording what I'm saying. I won't listen to this back.
Yeah,
I won't.
Well, good to know.
I'll listen to your other.
We came here to pick up one audience member, and we failed.
Damn, well, you will. He's gonna listen to the other shit.
I'll tell my friends.
No, okay. Yeah,
all right. And they'll say, "Oh, you
dick.
You admitted to being a dick.
We have it recorded,
and they'll play it for me
forever,
over and over."
Brilliant.
But I think. But
the stand-up,
or performing in general, like I can't, standing in front of people, like on a stage, even in a small environment, I don't know how you guys do that. Like, like we went the other night to that showcase or whatever it was called, and all they were asked to do was tell your first experience of something. And so performers and writers and comedic people with background in comedy stood up. They didn't do stand-up, but they stood up there and said,
told a story.
Okay, tonight, I'm going to tell you a story about the first time I lost my virginity, or the first time, this one girl's like, the first time I saw a penis, or the first time I gave head. Or the first, and it was like, I could tell these. That's weird.
All right. Yes. Thank you.
Greg is
having the baton.
Not the first time I gave head. I won't tell that story.
All right. Good.
But the first time, like, I could tell. And I think I would tell it quite well. And I think it would be entertaining as I told it, because I am, in the roots of what I do, I am a storyteller. And I think I would tell it well. But if you put me in that environment, I'd look out and be like, first time I
you want to hide behind your hand.
Wait, that's not a good story. The first time I
the first library book I ever checked out. Tale of Two Cities. Thank you.
You ever try meditation?
No.
I started meditating a year and a half ago, twice a day for 20 minutes, and and we haven't talked. We haven't seen each other for a minute. And when we saw each other, you were working. But it's
no. I was at the bar meeting you guys, and I was with a young lady.
Oh no! But then we saw each other after when you guys were doing that show on the rooftop. You were working.
Where? Secret Bachelor.
Yeah.
Did you remember? Come downtown?
Yeah. No, Venice. Venice Beach.
Oh, right. We do this.
Greg is so memorable. This isn't working out for you.
Which one? Is it Greg? You remember?
Get out of here! I'm working! I'm in the moment! This is live television!
Right.
I was like, I'll something see you like your that. House.
That pilot, which, by the way, that pilot got picked up recently.
Well, not yet. It's looking good.
Positively.
Yes.
All
right. So wait, let's go back to the meditation thing. So you meditate for 20 minutes twice a day. And this is going to sound like the stupidest. What is meditation? Do you sit like with your legs crossed?
No.
And, like, with your arms? Like,
no, it's great. It's
very
great.
Simple.
Yeah, it's really simple. So the version of meditation that I learned is called Vedic meditation, which is the same as transcendental meditation. Have you heard of transcendental meditation?
I've heard the term. I don't know what it is.
So it's basically you get a, you're assigned a mantra, which is a Sanskrit word with no inherent meaning, but it carries a vibration, an energetic vibration that a
you
teacher.
Lost me already.
Okay.
Yeah.
But a teacher,
it's a
like,
word. Just go with that.
It's a word, right? So you then.
Who gives you the word?
A teacher.
So you don't do this alone.
No, this is about like becoming, like learning a little bit.
So twice a day you meet up with somebody?
No.
You do it alone. You get the technique. You learn the technique in a basic course.
Okay.
They give you your mantra, and then you can go forever on your own.
And the course is 1 week.
And the point of the mantra, just to explain that, is that word centers you. So that when you are doing your meditation, ultimately, it's very simple in its practice, but difficult to do. Because your brain will want to wander and fire and go all these different directions. I don't do this, but this is what I understand it to be. But this mantra is the word that you say and start and repeat and repeat and repeat while you're meditating so that you don't go and wander and go these other directions.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So you would sit in a chair like that. And
this
you just,
throne that you're that sitting
throne,
in.
And you sit comfortably. This would be a bad meditation chair. Yeah. It's so big.
This is ego.
It's nice.
Driving.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're right.
You're
so basically,
I'm meditating right now.
Yeah, you're meditating. So your back would be supported.
So look how you just put your hand.
Lower back. Well, you'd open your hands up and put them on your legs comfortably.
Yeah, but what he's saying is you don't have to like cross your legs in between, intertwine and do some.
This is just.
Am I ever gonna chant?
No, not in this technique.
Like Homeland.
No, not in that technique. It's just then you would gently close your eyes and you would as you go into it, you would then start gently repeating your mantra mentally, not out loud, mentally,
and over and over. The mantra is the word?
Yeah,
yeah,
is that word.
Give me an example of what the word
is. It could be cake. Not that it is, but it's a Sanskrit word.
Just keep saying
it? You would just say cake.
But hopefully I think it's a word that has no meaning to you.
That's right.
Because if it does, see, you're hungry.
Yeah.
That's the
it
problem.
It has no meaning.
Damn it, you shouldn't have said cake.
But the reason that I bring it up is that after doing it, and I've only done it for a year and a half, but I've been like really on it, like every day. And it's given me kind of like what you're saying with the guitar. Mm. It's a similar kind of thing where it gives you something to do every day. It gives you, I do it right when I wake up and then I do it before dinner. And creative people like Clint Eastwood does it all the time. And a bunch of people are.
He also
have
talked to an empty
it.
Chair.
That's correct.
Yeah, he did.
But I'm just saying
was
for creativity,
I think that was a meditation.
And
yeah.
busy
yeah.
people.
What's it, one of the more famous creatives that do it, especially Vedic, is Mulholland Drive. What's it? I forgot. Is it
David Lynch?
Oh yeah.
And Russell Simmons. Yeah. So it's like people. Oprah does
and
it.
And it's helped you.
It's
Oprah
helped me,
does
I
it.
Know.
There it
Oprah.
Is.
What would Oprah do?
Just
no, it's helped
lay
me a
it
lot.
Out there.
But yeah. what it's helped me with that I've noticed. That it's really helped me with is being able to sit and talk to people unlike I'd ever been able to do before because mm-hmm. I'm not as reactive for some reason. It's kind of calmed down my
like
dickheaded.
Like new people you meet? That you
no, like even people, well, yes, that. I'm just much more calm and much less stressed out. But even people with history, like when Brian pushes my buttons, would you say this is true? I'm able to kind of just, I'll still react, but
I'll
kind
say
of,
it's true.
You have to go into the meditative place.
Nope.
Right
no,
at that moment?
No. He's able to handle it much better. And so if what you were talking about was this issue of shutting down,
yeah,
you're shutting down because it's too much information. I'm sure, or your brain is just going too many options. Is that what's happening? And then you just kind of
it's
kind of
like an overwhelm.
Or fear. Yeah. I think fear. It has like there's. I don't want to deal with this.
It's like an overwhelm.
It's more of a defense mechanism, if anything.
So
well.
It's a possibility that meditation may arm you with something and calm you and
maybe.
Light a center.
Maybe
do you do yoga also.
I don't.
I do. Ryan
loves it.
I do.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And it's the same thing, I think, but that's the thing. It's like
it's hard. This the whole spiritual thing is hard for me to wrap my brain around.
It is, but it's
welcome
worth,
to the club. That's me.
But it's hard.
I'm not the spiritual guy, but I do see the if you want to get to it, the scientific benefit of it. To be able to quiet the mind and have more control over your mind, there's nothing necessarily spiritual about it.
Right.
So I can see the method behind it. Nothing against Greg,
the
spiritual. I'm sorry for putting my hand on your
you
shoulder.
You keep doing that.
Take your hand off.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Take it off.
You
want to
make you
want to
make a connection? No.
Yeah. Okay.
You
want to
make a connection?
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't know if that's. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You know, and I don't know who does like who goes to therapy. Like I know people always say to me, "Oh, you got to talk to somebody."
Yeah.
Therapy.
Mm.
You gotta talk
I did
to
therapy for a long time, and that
did
was really yeah incredibly.
Yeah, see, I did it with.
With somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
It was fucking grueling. It was so draining. Like you come out of that hour, and probably in a good way, but it didn't feel good.
Yeah,
I'm
and
sure.
Come out of that because you know, and God, to see two people who genuinely care about each other and love each other to go through that and then walk out and then all of a sudden you're out in the real world again.
Yeah.
And you're like, now what?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Like, right. You know, I don't know. So that getting in touch with that, all that stuff is a little bit.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah,
it's a tremendous amount of work, and the truth is, most people aren't interested in stepping into it because it takes a tremendous amount of effort, and it's the effort, as we always talk about, is continuous.
Yeah,
like
it
that.
Is.
It doesn't like you go and like you do it and you go all in 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 6 months, and then you're done. It's always
and
it doesn't stop.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
The other thing about therapy is it's not something that you have to do with somebody.
Right.
Right? I mean, in terms of a couple.
Yeah, no, I did it always on my own. I did it with a couple of girlfriends because they wanted to, and I...
Literally, there were a couple of girlfriends in the room?
At the same
time.
Yeah,
a few.
That's amazing.
I was like, come on, girls.
Let's all go.
I'm juggling too many girlfriends, and I need to talk about it with a therapist.
Like yeah.
But you know what? The thing is, Brian's right. It never ends, right? So the work never ends that you could do on yourself, possibly. And the question that I got to was... Okay, I just had stopped doing the work. I had stopped going to therapy because I was like, fuck this, I'm tired, you know?
Yeah.
And then things were falling apart. Mm. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go through my life regardless. Like every day is going to happen whether I'm trying to get better at it or not. And I just started realizing, like, I just have to continue to try every day to do it because I was acting like such a dickhead and was so unhappy.
Confirmed.
Robert confirmed.
That is true. Thing is better. Maybe it's better for you, maybe, you know, than even the therapy was, because it's something that you can do by yourself daily.
Yeah, every day.
Like, twice a day or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. How, and maybe, I don't know, that's why the guitar thing, although I wish I was better. I wish I'd started when I was a lot younger.
Sure.
Because I only started picking up the guitar, I don't know, handful of years ago.
Yeah. Mm.
But it has that meditation.
I'm sure it does.
Feeling for
I'm
me.
Sure it does.
Except that the music, and everyone laughs about this, but the music I play is like fucking rip your heart out fucking singer, songwriter.
Amazing.
Like,
got it.
Amazing. Ray LaMontagne. Yeah, Damian dude, I love Ray LaMontagne.
Damien Rice.
Just like, God.
Yeah.
Like, really? God, that's helping you? Cause that's
it is.
Depressing.
See, that's, look at this.
And
look
I love it, dude. Yeah, I love it. But every time I tell, they're like, who's your favorite artist? Like, you know, are you digging like blah blah blah? And I'm like, nah, I like Iron Wine. Like,
yeah,
Iron Wine,
yeah,
fucking impressive. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, that's what I like. I like that.
But you're also much more of an artist than you let yourself be. You're also a great photographer, and you don't.
I like
don't,
shooting.
Yeah,
I don't know how great, but I like shooting.
Yeah. But you don't. How often do you explore that?
Shooting? Yeah. I haven't shot in a long time.
See, that's the thing, man.
Shooting.
Right, that's the thing. You're an artist, right? So you're doing a job that is creative and it's storytelling, like you said, but you're also, and this is a fucking big issue. Everybody has a creative spirit, I believe, or a creative spark, and I think that when you shut that down, you get unhappy.
Yeah.
And we do it because of resistance, because it's like, I need to make money, and I need to fucking do this, and I don't, and this is stupid, and I, like you said, I'm not good at it, I wish I had started earlier. That's all resistance talking.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean? And then when you do it, it feels good.
Yeah.
Same reason that I'm like, I don't, why the fuck? When but I'm meditating, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah, but don't you need to be inspired or motivated?
Nope. Nope. See, you need to work. It's the same as work.
See, like for shooting, for example, if I'm not inspired or motivated to shoot, like I would shoot, I shot a lot in years past, haven't shot a lot recently.
Yeah.
There was always something that drove me to want to shoot.
Yeah.
Haven't felt that urge.
Yeah. But see, that's resistance kicking your ass.
Yeah.
Because resistance will say to you, I need to be inspired. And then you'll spend 50 years waiting to be inspired. As opposed to what happens, and what I've found is that as you start to create, then you find inspiration.
You find inspiration. That's true. Going out to find inspiration.
Yeah.
That's real. There's truth to that.
No, and again, I keep going back to guitar. For me, like, it's funny. When I stopped shooting, I started playing more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's the age-old excuse. You don't have enough. There's not enough time in the day to, like, to do it all, you know?
Right.
Which may be just a cop-out. But.
No, but you know what? That's right. As long as you're working that muscle, whether it's the guitar, photography, or whatever, it's the same muscle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's that creative
thing.
We're
getting back to porn now, aren't
we? Yeah, that's what it's
about. Working that muscle.
We actually, we're out of time.
Yeah, we are.
Unfortunately, but I would love for you to come back.
I'm all depressed.
No.
You're depressed?
What? Play the guitar.
Why?
You can play the guitar.
Let's go out on a high note.
Yeah, look at me. High is going to play Suicide.
Damien Rice.
I wrote this for the end of this show.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah. All right.
That was really good.
It sounds clean. It sounds similar to what I wrote for you.
Clean, no.
Greg, stop crying, Greg. My hand is on your shoulder again, Greg.
No.
Greg?
That's great. It's beautiful.
I'm sorry, that was great. Dave, we'll have you back again.
We
got so much more to talk about, but thanks for stopping in. On behalf of Robert Scheid and Greg
Lee, we're at his house.
Thank you for having us over.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks for letting us stop in.
Take it again. This is a real show. Do it right for one fucking time.
Please.
Go.
Brian.
Action.
David, thank you for stopping by.
Jesus Christ.
No.
It's not. He's not here. We're
he is
there.
Here, Greg.
No, but
we are here.
Okay, but Brian. I still stopped by the radio, the podcast.
That's true.
So I stopped by the podcast. Want to do it again, clean?
Thanks for dropping in, David.
Do it clean. He was saying do it clean.
Yeah,
while
so
you
we got it again.
David,
go.
You call it. You guys work very professionally.
3, 2.
David Friedman, thanks for stopping by.
No.
Why did you do
what
that?
What are you doing, man? Come on.
I
don't understand what
David,
you're doing.
We are here.
Count it
thanks
in,
for having
right,
us
count
over.
It in. Count it in. We do,
count
by
in,
the way,
David.
We don't say two. It's three, isn't it?
It's we. The
fucking
we.
Three.
Us.
We've
done
it. Yeah.
We're doing it that way. Come on. Count it in, David.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
3, 2.
Thanks.
Oh, Jesus. David, come on.
We can do this.
We can close this out. I know
you work in TV.
This is clean. This is clean.
Executive producer.
Yeah, all right.
3, 2.
Thanks for having us over, David Friedman.
Yeah!
On behalf of Robert Scheid and Gregory Hoyt,
my
name is Brian Gerard. We are The Scheid Show.
Yay!
Boo.
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 Bing.
And so it is, just like you said, it should be. We'll both forget the breeze. And so it is. The colder water, the blower's daughter, the pupil in dinner. I can't take my can't take my eyes off of you. I can't take my eyes off of you. I can't take my eyes off.